Well, good morning. How are you on this beautiful summer day? Are you enjoying the beauty of a late spring and summer as much as we are? This kind of weather does not exist in Thailand. Thailand doesn't have anything this dry. We're humid all year long, so.
Thailand may have different seasons, but we're grateful that we're finally coming to the end, we believe, of the COVID season. If you will. Yes. Though COVID seems to have hit Thailand less hard, less drastically than here, they did take it seriously and virtually cut themselves off from the whole world. Ruthie and I traveled to Thailand just this past March, and we got stuck in a quarantine down on the island of Phuket, which I don't know if you know, it's quite a famous vacation island. So it was real suffering, you know. And we're planning another trip in October, but hopefully we're not going to get stuck in Phuket this time because they've lifted restrictions now and we can travel freely.
So, do you think there's been an upside to this whole COVID thing? So much about our lives, our work, our patterns, and our propensities have had to be recalibrated. And we're beginning to see new realities. That is, we're beginning to see ways in which this season can actually be an ideal season to reach out to others. Yes, that's what we said. This can be an ideal season.
I'd like to read our scripture passage for this morning, Matthew 9, 35 to 37. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Before we dig in, let's set a little bit of a context here. This chapter falls early in Jesus' ministry. And in the preceding chapters of Matthew, we've had the birth of Christ, a few scraps of information about his childhood. We have Jesus' baptism, the calling of his disciples. And then we have Matthew's account of Jesus' teaching, commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount. Those verses are where Jesus speaks about his mission and guiding principles that they're going to be.
It's in these chapters, chapters 5 to 7, where Jesus sets out some of the principles of his kingdom. Easy things like die to self, think of others first, love God first and foremost. Chapter 8 and much of 9 then tell the story of Jesus going out and applying those principles that he has just taught. And here is the start of all that Jesus' healing miracles. Further, we find inklings of Jesus reaching out beyond the Jewish people. We find Jesus healing a non-Jew, the servant of a Roman centurion. Another way to look at this is that Jesus is modeling what he's expecting his disciples to do. Because it's in chapter 10 that he sends the disciples to practice all they've been learning from him in the preceding days and months.
So, getting back to what we said earlier, we're beginning to see ways in which this season can be an ideal season to reach out to others. How so, you might ask? Let's turn our attention to these three verses found after all of the events we just recounted.
We see that verse 36 is a summation of what Jesus has been doing. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. Usually when we read these verses, we focus on all the healing that Jesus does or the good news that he is bringing.
But the thing that we sometimes overlook is this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages. Jesus went out to meet the people where they were. This is the first thing we'd like you to notice in this passage. Jesus didn't wait for them to come to him. Sure, they followed him, but he was out and about in their community where they could find him. He mixed and mingled with those who thought they were righteous, and those who certainly were not righteous.
Yeah, that was so very different than the practices of many of the Jews of that time. It seems that their preoccupation was almost exactly opposite. That is, to put a distance between themselves and the surrounding communities. They held themselves apart. They didn't want to be contaminated by the impure, the sinners.
You know, after COVID and social distancing and the great divide that we seem to have in our country at this time, we may have to work a little harder to close the distance between us and others who don't think like us, or between us and the down and out, or the lawbreakers, or people with loose morals.
So this is the first takeaway that we'd like you to see from this passage. Be outward focused. Go out and meet the hurting and needy where they're at. Then maybe in the future we can invite them in. But first we have to go. So is that hard? I think it is. But it is the thing that Jesus taught us and he modeled for us.
We know personally that it can be hard to make that first step out. We were both born to missionary parents. Peter's parents worked in Vietnam and mine worked in Pakistan. When we each came back for college, we were really glad that we'd grown up overseas. We were happy for the experiences, but we were not going to follow in our parents' footsteps. God always has a sense of humor. We wanted to live the American dream, build a house, and settle down.
And we began down that path. After college, I started building homes, taking contracts along with Ruthie's older brother. But God had other plans for us, and we found ourselves wrestling with questions, feeling discontent. Then God gave us the opportunity to go serve in a refugee camp in Thailand. And that was the beginning of our journey to service overseas.
So in May of 1982, we found ourselves working in Ban Vinai refugee camp in Loei province in Thailand. We found the work both challenging and really rewarding, all at the same time. And during those 3 years that we worked in the refugee camp, we realized that God was calling us to make a long-term commitment to sharing the good news with others in a different culture.
So after 3 years working in Thailand's refugee camps, we returned to the States for further studies. And with a degree in missiology, we looked forward to returning to Thailand and joining cutting-edge covenant work there. And we felt God calling us to be salt and light in both Thailand and Laos. Well, it's been a few years now, 30 years, in fact, since those events. And God has blessed us and given us so many ways in which to engage. We've done development projects. We've started businesses. We've been regional mission coordinators for the covenant in Asia. And finally, our last phase has been kind of a mentoring role to Thai church leaders in our Thailand Covenant Church. We're grateful for churches like yours who have supported us and enabled us to do this all these years.
We went to Thailand with the Covenant in 1988, expecting to work in a town called Royet, where we are actually currently working now. But that's not where we went. God had other plans. We were asked to go to Laos. That was another instance of stepping out. But it made sense to us as we'd worked with Lao refugees previously. We didn't go where we first thought we were going, to the capital city, but rather we went to a northern province where there was no running water, no electricity, no phones, or any other amenities. To be honest, I felt like I'd been dropped off the planet.
But the 16 years we spent in Luang Nam Tha were some of the most rewarding of our lives. 6 years doing a development project and 10 years doing a business as mission. Just when things were going so well and people were starting to come to faith, the Lao government shut our business down. For us, it was back to that prayer time, back to a time of seeking and asking, God, what opportunity do you have for us now?
So how about you? How is it going here in Applewood? How are you all and we engaging out into non-believers? Well, I think your Vacation Bible School is one way that you might be doing that. Are each of you intentionally meeting new people? Are we going to meet them where they are? In new social situations, are we engaging with their problems that we find daily?
Before we move on, I want to give us a little time to think about some of those questions. If this were Thailand, I would actually expect some of you to answer. But you could just think about it. We'll let you go. Okay, let's move on to look at the next verse, verse 36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Here's the second thing we'd like you to notice in this passage. I don't fully understand it, but when we are harassed and helpless, when we are like sheep without a shepherd, it's during those times that we are most in need of compassion, right? But it may be also that during those times we may be the least inclined to recognize our need for help, the least inclined to actually ask for help.
So as we look around us, do we see who are harassed? They may not be looking for help. They might even avoid us. But do we see the helpless, the sheep without a shepherd? Do we see those without a leader, those on the fringes of our communities? We don't know how it is here in the Applewood area, but in Thailand, the church is such a small minority, less than 1% of Thai people are Christian, that they often feel oppressed and helpless. They start thinking themselves in that way. Maybe they're struggling financially or they're having family problems. And sometimes they forget that they have Jesus and the body of Christ. Now that's what happens when we focus exclusively on our own problems. There seems to be no way out. We become the picture of the harassed and helpless sheep without a shepherd.
Well, I'd like to share with you a story that happened recently in Thailand when the church chose to go out into the community. Last year, the Thai church received a grant from Covenant World Relief and Development, and that grant was for COVID relief. Initially, the distribution was to be one-third to church members and two-thirds to the community around the churches. A committee went out to assess the needs of the people in the surrounding community. They met with village headmen and got input on who were the most needy in the area.
You know, once they completed that exercise of gathering information, a change of spirit came over them. Initially, they had estimated that about 30% of the families in the churches might need help during the COVID season. But in the end, they chose only two families within all the churches to receive benefit, and all the rest of it went to the communities outside the church.
There were other unexpected benefits that came from this outreach. One church leader objected at first, thinking that this project was mainly an exercise in trying to look good in the community for those making the distribution. But then he went out into the community, and he experienced something quite different. What he found was that people knew he was a Christian, and they thanked Jesus, not him. Some even said, thank you, even though you are a different religion, you haven't forgotten us. The community of believers was able to see the harassed and helpless in their community. They had compassion. They were able to do what Jesus modeled.
Okay, so let's pick up on the last thing we'd like you to observe in this passage. Let's read verse 38. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest fields.
So here it comes. Here comes the mission challenge.
Can't have missionaries without it. Maybe you might be wondering what I can do. I realize that several of you have already stepped up to help out with your vacation Bible study. Maybe some of you don't see where the harvest might be or how to begin. For Peter and me, our life verse comes from Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So no excuses out there. God's got something for you, each one of you specifically, to do.
So if you're wondering what you can do, we hope this verse gives you courage. God has specific things for each of us to do. For some, it might mean working in a foreign context, coming overseas and being a missionary. That's a real burden on my heart right now because we're kind of looking at retirement and we just, yeah. Anybody out there want to be a missionary in Thailand? Talk to us. For most of you, it might mean staying where you are and seeing that harvest field right in your own backyard.
In our own lives, we found the first process is simply to listen to God. What is he putting in your heart? If you read the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus often took time to pray prior to big events or decisions. Just a couple. He prayed before he called all the disciples. He prayed before the crucifixion. There are many other times that Jesus sought God through prayer so that he would do the will of the Father. And that's something we need to do. If Jesus did it, we need to do it. Take time to listen with your heart and your spirit. Listen and notice if God brings a ministry opportunity for you.
And if it's clear, take the next step. Volunteer. If you still don't know, start looking at what opportunities there are. Seek counsel from godly friends. Then you might feel a nudge of confirmation. Maybe you'll hear that what you're looking at is the good work God has prepared in advance for you to do. Maybe it's something suited to you, suited to who you are, and suited to the gifts and talents God has given you.
Finally, don't hold back. Step out. Not in your own strength, but with the power of the Holy Spirit. Begin by maybe going out into those harvest fields. Getting involved can be exciting and invigorating, but we would not be telling the whole story if we said it was always easy.
So have any of you harvested crops? We just drove across Kansas and Nebraska, and using a combine makes it look easy. But harvesting by hand is hard work. And we can assure you that you'll have incredible opportunities and a lot of joy in seeing how God is at work in your community and beyond. But we know there will be really challenging times as well.
On our own path, there have been many twists and turns. It's been, much like a labyrinth, with bursts and pauses and constantly changing perspectives. But there has been one constant throughout. God has always been with us.
After the government shut down our business in Laos, we went back to northern Thailand. That was like after being there for 17 years, they finally shut us down. We went back to Thailand and began business, another business there, a factory making rice soy blend to be used for supplemental feeding in Burmese refugee camps along the border.
That work continues with a Dutch colleague of ours who has continued that work. But we've received another opportunity to return back to Laos. And we were invited by two people, one to do a fish farm and one to do a silk project. And again, things were going really well. But governments from that northern province where we'd worked found out that we were working in the capital. And we were told that if we left the country, we would not be able to return.
And that did indeed happen. We returned from a home assignment in the summer of 2014. An official visa safely stamped in my passport. But when we arrived in Vientiane, the capital city, after more than 30 hours on the plane from LA, I was denied entry at the airport. There was nothing I could do but get back on the plane and head back to Thailand on the flight. So when I arrived in Bangkok, dead tired, discouraged, despondent, thinking I would curl up in a hotel bed. That was not to be. Instead, I spent the night in immigration jail, along with 30 other men and women. The next morning, I was back on the plane to Taipei. When I met many of our covenant people there in Taipei, well, it's hard to put into words how emotional and how grateful I was.
I, meanwhile, was allowed to stay in Laos. It's the first time sexism has worked in my favor because I'm just a little woman, can't be much danger. So that left me with the job of packing everything up, and I'm so grateful for the friends who came to help me to do that. And within a week, we were reunited in Royat, Remember that little city I told you about where we thought we were going first? Well, it was a good 25 years later. We think God knew that we needed a little experience under our belts, more spiritual and more cultural understanding before we were ready to work there.
And we arrived there to find the church. We found church leaders very discouraged and ready to pack it in. God allowed us to be encouragers. And we have seen his hand of blessing as we helped reestablish the campsite and make upgrades to the fish farm that they had there.
The first camp we were able to hold was for a multinational, multi-denominational group who held three different camps to learn about new ways of doing evangelism and church planting in the northeast region of Thailand. And there were about 75 participants in each of those camps.
The camp also served to be a place where young people, 30 and under, could come to engage with English and work projects around the campsite. One group of young women from an organization called World Race here in the States helped put in a ropes course in 100-degree weather. We hosted three teams of delightful young people who were on fire for the Lord and ready to serve and share their faith and stories with others. Then COVID hit, and the last group had to leave a day early to return to the U.S. But we hope there will be future groups.
And the last camp we were able to hold before COVID restrictions set in was for 180 people. We can actually only comfortably house about 120, but many of them were really totally happy to camp and be out in tents. Now, just as we're coming through this COVID season, we're beginning to see people wanting to ask for the use of the camp. We open it to all Christian groups throughout Thailand who want to use this. And we're hoping that there will be more training opportunities, more camping possibilities in 2022 and into the beyond, now that there's less restrictions.
For the next few years, we'll be working with Merge Ministries, an entity within the covenant that helps prepare teams going on short-term trips around the world and in the U.S. Our role will be to help with cultural training components for visiting Asian countries.
We actually know that your church has worked with Merge in trips in the past that you went to Ecuador, so you've got a good head start. But we'd like to share a few opportunities of what might be coming your way if you choose it, where you might be involved as COVID eases up and the travel restrictions are much easier. Here's a few things that you might be involved in Thailand. It's our plan to go back to Thailand once or twice a year. We'll probably be there for 6 weeks to 2 months each time. We can either lead a team or we can meet a team, or multiple teams, depending on how it goes. Some of the things we've done is we've had really good opportunities in the local schools to do English teaching. We do day events in high schools and middle schools in the area. And, you know, it's not just an opportunity for English, but for sharing the gospel.
In one school we sponsored, we had an art contest. The theme was this: how do you imagine Jesus? Yes, this was in a public school where 98% of the people were Buddhist. But we were amazed by the results. The artwork was amazing. But so too were the explanations they gave of their artwork. Kids looked things up online, and only a few had some exposure to Christians before that.
One of the requirements of the contest was that as they drew the pictures, they had to explain why they'd chosen the symbolism that they had. So it was really interesting to read this. The first round of judging came from the committee of teachers, and they picked out the best 15. And there were 60 participants in this. Then on the day of the English camp, several local church leaders and the principal of the school chose the finalists. And the winners were all given a small scholarship.
Then we went on to a grade school nearby, and we took a different approach. Some of our college and high school students who are getting better at English did a pictorial English story of creation. It gave them confidence in sharing their faith, and the kids loved the activity. In the end, we had schools calling and asking us to do similar events at their schools, and we need help. So this is one significant way you all could help with ministry in Thailand.
Another area that we've had requests is actually from Thai English teachers themselves. They want the opportunity to have one-on-one conversations to practice their own English. We've noticed in Thailand that English speakers in general, and specifically Thai English teachers, are great at grammar, but very hesitant about verbal communication. They're too afraid of making a mistake. Think about this as an opportunity where you could share your faith.
The Thai Covenant denomination has a wonderful campsite and fish farm. And now with COVID largely behind us, we have begun to see school kids come back to do sports, English, and music camps. English is becoming a necessity in this world, not only for students from middle schools around us, but also for church leaders. They could use the practice of having conversations, getting over their shyness, learning to listen, and understand people with different accents.
Those are just a few of the opportunities in Thailand. If you're interested, please talk to us after church or during the lunch. But we understand that probably most of you won't go overseas. And we're also really certain that there are plenty of opportunities here in your neighborhood to share the good news or do practical things to help in your community.
As outside observers, we sense that this pandemic season has isolated many of us. It's hard to engage with people who think differently than us, but we know that that's what God has called us to do. He didn't ask us to be comfortable, but to go out and reach those who are ready to be reached.
So we'd really ask that you join us in prayer as we seek to liaise with the Merge and national church leaders in Thailand, Laos, and India, just to name a few countries. We pray that God will find the right people in each of those countries to coordinate teams, maybe from your church, who are coming to help. We also want to pray that each of the teams that comes not only has something to offer, but comes back with something that they can use so that this is a mutual learning experience for both those in the country you visit and for yourselves as you return home.
Finally, we would not want to leave without saying how much we have appreciated both the financial and prayer support from your church for so many years. We pray God's richest blessing on this church as you reach out into your neighborhoods and beyond. Thanks.